Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Then when I was a teenager, I knew that I had got something going. All my friends told me I was great.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Creative types have long had a reputation for ego, and we know it certainly takes a strong belief in oneself to pursue an art form. But now a new study suggests that the connection between inventiveness and arrogance can actually be measured. Psychologist Paul Sylvia of the University of North Carolina at Greensboro headed up the study. He joins us on the line to explain his findings. Paul, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So is it true? Are creative people, in general, more arrogant than the rest of us?
Well, sad to say, it is true. I wouldn't say that creative types are all a large bunch of insufferable blowhards, although we certainly have seen our share of those. But it is the sort of thing that, on average, from our study and others, that, yeah, people who are really creatively accomplished, who do well in a creative field, are, shall we say, a bit less humble than the rest of us.
Now, what made you go looking in this direction in the first place?
Well, part of the interest in this, so as a psychologist who studies creativity, one of the big questions is there really a creative personality? Is there really a creative type of person? Is there something all creative people really have in common? And if so, what are they like? Like, this could be, it's interesting in its own right, it could be helpful for cultivating creativity. And we were interested in arrogance and humility and self-importance, in part because there are some, as you mentioned, some pretty old cultural stereotypes of, you know, the sort of bombastic rock star and the sort of full-of-herself sculptor. And this is kind of a cultural stereotype we have about arts and the artists. So it's always interesting to see, are these stereotypes true or are they just another stereotype?
Right.
And in this case, it seems like this is one of those stereotypes that just might have a kernel of truth to it.
So how do you go about measuring, first of all, creativity, and then arrogance?
Well, certainly the second of those, arrogance, is quite a bit easier. One of the things we know in psychology, it's amazing what people will tell you if you simply ask. And it's pretty easy to measure different aspects of personality through interviews or questionnaires. These things really do seem to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
As you might guess, people who are less modest and a bit more grandiose really don't have any problem telling you that, yes, they are, in fact, great, wonderful people who are very important, deserving of your respect. So that's pretty easy. You can use any number of fairly standard self-report scales that ask people questions, questions such as, how much would people agree with a statement like, I want people to know that I'm an important person. So people, you know, a little more modest would maybe tend to disagree. People who are quite a bit less modest would tend to agree. Or questions like, I'm an ordinary person who's no better than others. Or question like,
yeah,
I wouldn't want people to treat me as though I were superior.
These all sound fairly standard, but,
yeah,
you know, wouldn't people who are immodest, let's say
mm-hmm.
arrogant, wouldn't they also tend to be the very people who would also tell you, I am also extraordinarily creative?
Well, this is why measuring creativity is always the part that's a bit more delicate and
yeah,
a bit more careful. And you're absolutely right. And you never, in creativity work, you never want to just ask people, hey, how creative are you? Because clearly everyone is creative and their children and pets are too. And creativity, it's just something that's very culturally valued. We all are creative in the same way that we're all wonderful drivers
mm-hmm.
and great friends. So it's something that you have to look at much more concretely, much more specifically. The best way to do it is to look at what people are actually doing and accomplishing. So it's one thing to say, are you creative? But it's another thing to do interviews and other things to see, in the case of music, do they play an instrument? And if they play an instrument, are they in a band? Do
mm-hmm.
they do compositions? Does their band perform? Have they had any critical write-ups, any recordings, any local regional tours? So you can look for things that really in their actions, really in their behaviors, are they leading a creative lifestyle? Do they have any real accomplishments under their belt that they can point to.
Well, but your survey participants were 1,300 undergrads with a median age of 21. So
yes,
even the ones who are genuinely creative, how much of a track record of creativity would you have at by age 21?
So certainly when you're looking at young adults, what we consistently find, one virtue of studying young adults is because they're early in their creative development, you can avoid the chicken and egg problem somewhat of if you just study really creatively accomplished musicians, for example, they're kind of living in a bubble of fans and sycophants who tell them just how wonderful and perfect and creative they are. Catching people a little bit early can help you get around that.
Uh-huh.
In a sample like this, the top 1% or 2% would surprise you. These are people who toured Europe in high school jazz bands. Many of them actually have published some notable short fiction. Like, so the best, even at this age, the really best are really doing quite a bit.
And are they also the most arrogant of the lot?
Well, we did find that. We certainly did. That in this sample, about half of the people you would say really have nothing creative going on in their lives or in their past.
Mm-hmm.
And these people did tend to be more humble, so that means that they come across as more modest, less sort of self-inflated, self-impressed, sort of cast it the other way. The people in the sample with the most creative accomplishments did tend to be a bit more grandiose, a bit more self-important.
What about, I mean, just as a final question, Paul, a difference between arrogance and confidence? I mean, are we talking about the same thing and just taking, you know, a pejorative view of one and a positive view of the other?
That is a good question. I think part of the interest that I have as a creativity researcher in this is that in psychology, we don't see, let's say, lack of humility, perhaps. This is not really a bad thing for creative work.
Mm-hmm.
That when you're trying to do creative work, it's the nature of creativity in a culture that you're always going to have detractors, you're going to have haters, you're going to have critics. Like, no matter what you're trying to do, some people are going to discourage it. And if you're trying to do something really innovative, something potentially really profound, it's something that other people aren't doing. It's always going to go against certain norms or interests. So
yeah, you need
to
that.
Really,
yeah,
oh,
you,
yeah.
You need that streak of arrogance. I said that was going to be my last question. I'm going to squeeze in one more, Paul. If
you
there
bet
was
you.
One musician on your wish list that you could have given this questionnaire to, who would it have been?
Miles Davis, without a doubt. Complex, fascinating man.
All right, well, he was not one of the 1,304 undergrads who were part of the study, but the study is a really interesting one. Paul Sylvia from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro headed up the study on the relationship between creativity and arrogance. Paul, thanks for speaking with us today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
A little bit of music from Miles Davis, that arrogant so-and-so. Still to come, a live performance from the British rock band Wild Beasts here in the Soundcheck studio.